It's time now for the Bean Report, brought to you by Manitoba Pulse and soybean growers. Joining us today is production specialist Laura Schmidt.
So soybeans range from V1 to V3 and will be starting to flower soon with the change in day length. IBC symptoms have started to show up in some fields, but many fields do remain symptom-free. Field peas range from 6 to 12 true leaf nodes, with some at R1 or flower bud, with a few open blooms scattered throughout the field. As pea flowering advances this week, start looking for Microsporella blight in the lower canopy, check plant tips for pea aphids, and dig up roots to assess nodulation. Dry beans range from V1 to V3, and fava beans range from 7 nodes to beginning bloom. As with peas, flowering is the best time to check nodulation and start looking for pea aphids in fava beans too. We have had strong winds and hail reported in some areas of the province. There's been leaf tearing and stem breakage. So in some areas, plants are regrowing, while in others, plant stands have been reduced from those storms. To learn more about defoliation effects on soybean yield, check out this week's Bean Report at manitobapulse.ca. For all crops, seedling diseases and root rots have impacted plant stands in areas of the field that have remained saturated. And grasshopper nymphs have been feeding at field edges. At these early vegetative stages, the threshold for control in soybeans is greater than 30% defoliation, and for dry beans, it's greater than 35% defoliation. Border or edge sprays at these stages are often enough for controlling these grasshopper nymphs. We've also seen blister beetle adults found in some fields. So the blister beetle larvae feed on grasshopper eggs in the spring, and as adults, they can occur in small patches in the field, but they don't often feed in the field for very long before they move on. While they do cause some defoliation, it's usually not economical to control those blister beetles. And then the last one to touch on today would be those pea aphids I've been talking about. We found some migrating into pea and fava bean fields already. And unlike soybean aphids, these pea aphids overwinter here. So we scout peas around flowering and potting to monitor for this insect. You can either check plant tips the top 8 inches or conduct 10 sweeps at 4 locations across the field. You assess those populations in different areas, including the field edges. Traditionally, the economic threshold for peas has been 2 to 3 aphids per plant tip, or 90 to 120 aphids per 10 sweeps. At greater pea prices, the economic threshold for control might be reached a bit earlier for this. And if that threshold's reached, applications should be made at that early pod stage when 50% of the plants have produced young pods, as this is kind of the most sensitive stage to aphid feeding. But also remember to check for your natural enemies that might be controlling those pea aphid populations and include them in your decisions.
Now, Laura, I wanted to just talk a little bit more about foliar fungicide. What advice would you have there?
Yeah, so since peas are flowering, that's kind of one of the next decisions we'll be making. So Microsporella or Ascochyta blight is the main disease foliar fungicides in peas, infecting most pea crops at some severity level each year. The impact on yield is determined by how early that disease sets and how quickly it progresses into the upper canopy. So early infections during flowering and flat pod stages cause the most damage, so we want to be scouting for this. So scout for symptoms from 10th true node stage to beginning bloom, and we have a fungicide decision worksheet available at manitobapulse.ca that will cover disease risk and disease ID tips to assess if a fungicide application might be economical in that field. Those fungicides should be applied when one flower is open on most plants across the field. And if that warm, humid weather is persisting, the disease is progressing up the canopy, do consider a second application 10 to 14 days later using a different mode of action. It is likely that our Microsporella pathogen is resistant to group 11 strobilurin fungicides. So if applying a foliar fungicide to manage this disease, select a product that has more fungicide groups than just a group 11 alone. But you can find more information on this disease and some helpful pictures in this week's Bean Report at manitobapulse.ca.
And finally, you know, with all the moisture here this spring, has there been concerns with iron deficiency chlorosis?
Certainly. So IDC, or iron deficiency chlorosis, is showing up in some soybean fields where those new trifoliate leaves are turning lime green to yellow. So after V1, soybean roots need to acidify their root zone to access the iron that's available in the soil. Excess soil moisture, calcium carbonate, soluble salts, and or high nitrate levels can all hinder that iron uptake into the plant and increase your risk of IDC. If those plants were covered by V6, yield loss is expected to be pretty minimal. But it's good to go out and scout and check and see what you're looking at for in your field. In-season management options for IEC haven't been very effective, but you can accurately diagnose that problem and adjust management strategies for future years by selecting IDC-tolerant varieties.
Thanks, Laura. Laura Schmidt is a production specialist with Manitoba Pulse and Soybean Growers. The Bean Report is brought to you by Manitoba Pulse and Soybean Growers. You can find out more at manitobapulse.ca.